Street Chess Motherfucking Podcast.
Make some noise!
He's a legendary Queens rapper.
Hey, hey, say greetings, your boy N-O-R-E.
He's a Miami hip-hop pioneer.
What up, is DJ EFN.
Together, they drink it up with some of the biggest players.
You know what I mean?
In the most professional, unprofessional podcast, and your number one source for drunk facts.
It's Drink Champs Motherfucking Podcast,
where every day is New Year's Eve.
Let's go. It's time for Drink Champs. Drink up, motherfucker.
What it good be, hoping it is what it should be. This is your boy N-A-O-N-A-A.
What up, it's DJ EFN.
And this is Drink Chess, motherfucking military crazy raw, motherfucking some shit. I don't even know what it is, but we out here. Mason! Right now, I want to introduce one of the most genuine people I know. And right now, when it comes to legends, when it comes to people that are kings in our community, if you put these guys together, you might get Rihanna. If you get one of the DJ is one of the first DJ to break Rihanna, not only a part of discovering them, and one of the first people, not in Miami, I ever heard Rick Ross before in my life was on Hot 97. This man played this. This man has headphones. He got speakers. He got wallets. He got glasses.
He got oxygen.
He got oxygen.
Yes, sir.
He gives you ambition. He makes hustlers happy. He makes street niggas happy. When street niggas see him win, they feel like they winning.
If you had to get iced out in your mouth, you had to go see him.
Yes, sir.
When we talk about media, rappers being media, this guy had what they considered the hip-hop Bible. This guy belongs on everybody's Mount Rushmore. Can not only out-rap you, will get your girl out her drawers as well.
I know the brother's very humble, but I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna say this. When we talk about the best rappers alive right now, this man is at this table.
I knew him I'm on his first album.
That's right.
Now when it comes to journalists, these two brothers right here are the forefront of it. One brother is a GOAT, the other brother's on his way to be a GOAT. One brother has been in every magazine from Ego Trip to Vibe to XXL to The Source. The other brother has just landed a multi monkey foot job at MTV and he's pushing the culture. We've been on Cash Money Records, Young Money Records, and No Limit Records. Hey. God damn it, the one and only Ray motherfucking J.
Was like the first like R&B gangster singer. Like it was that.
What's going on?
He's a lucha.
I wasn't ready.
He's a lucha.
I wasn't ready. What is that? Is that your product too? You sell those too? Oh no.
Not yet.
I'm talking about Cypher. Motherfucking sound. Woo! They caught it now. Official. Hey! Whoa. Motherfucking Lamar Odom. Floyd Mayweather.
Let's make some noise for Tory motherfucker. I'm talking about Benzino. Make some noise! Beat down Elliot motherfucker. Now, Currency himself, make some noise!
And my name is Drink Champs Alumni.
See, we don't know if you know Currency, but our show is about bigging up our legends. So many people, when you get 10 years in this game, they want to tell you that you're washed up. They want to tell you, but not over here. We want to tell you, when you have 10 years or more, that you're seasoned, that we understand who you are, and we're going to big you up. Because in every other culture, they motherfucking praise you when you get old. And ours the only culture that when we get older, it's not even a word called washed up in fucking rock and roll.
Yeah.
They don't even have that word.
Sure,
you know what I'm saying? Sure. So we're going to celebrate you tonight, goddammit. When you leave here,
let me
tell you something. We celebrate, we celebrate niggas' careers here. You are not only my friend, but you're a motherfucking legend.
My G,
you've been here, you stood the test of times, you stood by, and you stood there through the good, the bad, the worst.
Of course.
Man, you are the definition of a loyal nigga, and I respect that.
I'm gonna tell you a story.
Yeah. Ah, that's a shot.
That's
Mika knows right there.
Oh my God.
But once again, we like to celebrate our people's careers. There's so many people in this life that every time you got 10 years or more in this game, they want to say you washed up. They want to say it's over for you. They want to say you're done. But here at Drink Champs, we celebrate your life. We celebrate your career. We celebrate your accolades. We celebrate what you do. We celebrate you being 6-7 niggas in one movie. And this is what we're going to do, goddamn it.
We celebrate. We celebrate you. We celebrate you by
salute.
By pickling your liver. And killing you and making you OD, cause we celebrate you, my nigga.
That was terrible. That is terrible.
It ain't so bad.
I want y'all, that's why we set up this format, because we want to give people their flowers while they're here. We want people to know that we appreciate it. Like, I really look at hip-hop like superheroes. Like, I can really live off of hip-hop. Like, for real. Like, for real. Like, I'm one of those guys. Like, yeah. I've really probably never listened to a whole other genre of album. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Because I'm that insane. But I want y'all to know that as long as I'm alive, we're going to keep hip-hop the fuck alive. You know what I'm saying? This is the rapper of this. Solid.
You're Jamaican, that's good.
Yeah, you're Jamaican, yeah.
Yo, why the man, this is our roots tonic crew,
yeah,
boy.
It's our roots, yeah.
Give him the whole bottle.
But he's held down a whole label. Then had a whole career. I feel like he's like the hip-hop Michael Jackson.
Stop it.
Like, I mean, no, in the most respectful way. Like, you know, Michael had three different careers, like a child star, then a middle star, then a grown man star. I feel like this is hip-hop. So
that
we
makes
protect
a lot
him.
Of motherfuckers.
In case you don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, by the way, went platinum in a week twice on niggas. Like, the first nigga I know that went platinum in a week. Holy moly, guacamole. And represents for hip-hop. In case y'all, hold on, because I got so much accolades, I'm going to keep telling them. This is one of the most genuine people I ever met. If Wayne tell you he going to do something, he's going to do it. Mm. And he's always had. And I just want to big him up to his face. Make some goddamn motherfucking noise.
There's no windows.
Listen, first off, we want to thank you for when you went on the show and they talked about the show. You said, Drink Champs. You addressed us as Drink Champs. I appreciate that. But let's move on.
It was some white people shit, too.
It was some white people shit. I thought he was going to avoid us. Yeah. I thought he was going to say.
He could have easily did.
Yeah, yeah. I thought he was going to say my homeboy show.
I'm getting a little high right now.
But no one's even smoking yet. It ain't even
did not smoke
it's
yet.
Not lit.
Oh, my God. Don't worry. He's certified mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. You know,
CPR in the house.
I
Come on, man. That whole corner right there.
They're all certified.
They smell like patales and bacalao right there. That's the bacalao corner.
Papote, papote.
My jersey is hung up to me in every stadium all around the world. Every stadium of that genre of shit, I should have a jersey.
I've been a person who follows your career from the beginning, and let's take it from the Olympics. Olympics is the time that I feel like it created the monster that you are, because I feel like you whipped the guy in the Olympics.
Yes.
You tore him down. And then they gave him the decision. That was your only, like, time, correct?
Well, we know we only drink champs, so I must have a drink first.
Okay, that's right.
You know, as far as the Olympics, I feel like it was a learning experience for me. You know, small learning experience. Mm-hmm. At that particular time in 96, I was very, very upset.
Wow.
Upset.
Wow.
I cried about it.
Wow.
You know, by myself.
How old are you at that time, right?
I'm 19. You know, I cried about it by myself because my dad was in prison, and that's the one that taught me everything. So I cried about it. You know, it was nothing. I feel like it was a learning experience.
The origin of the source.
So
like the beginning, the genesis.
Okay. All right. Everybody knows that the Source started in Boston. Mm-hmm. Dave Mays. Uh-huh. Went to Harvard. Mm-hmm. I met Dave. I was in a group called the Almighty Arisso, mm-hmm. doing my street thing.
You didn't go to Harvard, though. Let's just be clear.
I lived around the corner from Harvard Street.
All right, so that's Harvard adjacent.
I'm saying, huh?
That's Harvard adjacent.
Harvard and Washington was four corners.
Okay, all right, cool. You know that, right? Cool.
So I had a little something to do with Harvard, but it wasn't the school that I was. And then...
RSO's before the Source?
Yeah.
And managed by Flavor Unit.
No, that came after.
Okay.
But I think the RSO got established in 85, and the RSO was probably like 84. Maybe, so you know, 83. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, yeah, like we
you
first.
You know, as long as I knew you, I didn't know that. I thought the Source came.
No, you
just fucked me up just now.
Yeah, okay, Almighty RSO. And then actually, Dave, the first time we met Dave was we was at a radio station that Wendy Williams graduated from, Emerson College. Mm. Like all the, there's a lot
in the
of.
Bean?
Yeah, in Boston. Mm. Emerson College is where everybody went to college to be a radio DJ or whatever.
Broadcasting.
Yeah, I think Stephen Hill went. I think a few people went there. So they would do this thing where it was like, what do you call those things where people pick up the phone and they get money for you?
Telemarketing.
Yeah, so people were there telemarketing, getting money, trying to raise it for the station.
Right, raise funds.
And Dave came down. We was there, RSO's down there performing live. And Dave came down and interviewed us. That was the first time ever. It was no Source, nothing.
He interviewed you for what?
He interviewed us. He wanted to come meet us because he had his own radio show at Harvard. Mm. And that's how the Source started.
Is it Toronto specifically that you're from?
Yeah. Okay. I'm from, like, when it comes to Toronto, I'm technically more so from Brampton.
Okay.
So, it's crazy because I made sure, like, I told my publicist, like, I don't care. I know we're going to do the Breakfast Club and all the other shit.
Right.
But I have to do Drink Champs.
Goddamn, make some noise for you.
I promise you, that was the first thing I told her. I said, we gotta do this shit. It's my favorite shit.
No, I was focused. I'm scared.
No, I got to check out.
People
been
noticing that.
I have been focused lately. Because but now this is not an overnight thing for y'all. Like, a lot of people might see you, B-Dot, on MTV or see, you know, Elliot on a Crown episode and see he pulled off a Nicki Minaj and see he pulled off a Ross, and people thinking that this is like, you know, just some overnight thing. I want to describe it from the beginning for both of y'all, you know, whichever way y'all want to take it. From the beginning, how did you fall in love with hip hop and get involved with journalism?
You know, from Queens, right? So yes. It's always been part of where we at, you know what I'm saying? So I just fell in love with listening to people like yourself, Nas.
That guy's good. That Nori guy?
That Nori guy's good.
I agree, man.
I had Nori's pictures on my wall growing up, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, listening to the greats, and when I went to college, I realized I could get a check off of it.
So what college you went to?
I went to Delaware State University.
Okay.
I remember you performed there for the homecoming. I was just about to say that. You was performing homecoming 2002.
Yes, I did.
And you was like, yo, Del State, it's hot as jail in the state. I get it.
I definitely remember that.
I was there for that.
The girls are easy out there. It's very true. It's very true. I'm married now, so how about you, Elliot? You've been a little bit more seasoned in the game.
Yeah. Well, same thing. Growing up in Queens, right. Run DMC, LL, like those were like the blueprint, like in, you know, loving hip hop, and then, you know, probably first seeing the Source that you could like have a magazine at.
Is that the first time you wanted to, like, because being a fan of the culture, and like, because, you know, a lot of people can watch basketball. There's not a lot of people who can actually cover basketball. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So
It started with sports with me. My father wanted me to be a baseball player.
Oh, wow.
His dream was to play baseball.
Oh, wow.
So he actually wanted to name me Roberto Clemente.
Oh,
I could have been Roberto Clemente.
No, that would have been all.
You Puerto Rican?
No, my father's black, and my mom is Ecuadorian and Greek.
You just like Roberto Clemente?
He said Ali Wilson Jr., like on some Frank Sinatra.
We used to have a park right here in Wynwood, Roberto Clemente Park.
Yeah, yeah. So I grew up playing sports, a lot of baseball growing up, and then by the time I got 15, 16, I was like, I'm not good enough to like go pro. Like, I'm good, but I ain't outstanding and shit.
Right.
So I looked at sports writing. Remember like going Warner Wolf, let's go to the videotape, and Howard Cosell, and
all
those
guys. Okay.
Like, I got attracted to that. I was like, oh, maybe I could do that. I could be a sports reporter. I could be a sports writer. And then when, you know, I started losing more interest in sports, the music, and seeing that the music could be documented, you know, just excited me. And I was like, that really was my only career goal. I tell people, my first career goal was to be music editor of the Source.
Wow.
I wanted to get all the albums before anybody else got the albums.
Wow.
And I wanted to give the mics out.
Wow.
That was my only dream.
So the Source was...
I did that in 25.
So the Source was already popping prior to you?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know
but
that.
But I didn't realize... They weren't as big as I thought they were, okay. but at the time. Because like, I had Ego Trip. I had an independent thing going on with Sasha Jenkins.
With Sasha Jenkins, big
him up. So... We thought the Source, once they got national, they were so far ahead, you know. And I was, and again, I just fell in love. I thought because it was the first. Like I wanted that position. I saw Reginald C. Dennis with the Shays and like the whole thing of like getting access to the music. That's the whole thing about the streaming era. All fans now is get all this access to the music, whatever DSP they sign up to.
And like, it's that's equivalent to being like, a mixtape. You know, back we in was the getting Nori, the leaks. Yep.
Like Nori, I got you. Remember when your album was rolling out, your album, your solo album? They sent like a 4-track sample.
Yep, a sample. Cypher Styles and Funk Flex. Actually.
So I had it even before that because I was sent it to the label. To the publicity department, sent it to the magazine.
Right.
So at NORE, I think it had Body in the Trunk.
I believe so. I had Body in the Trunk. I had Super Thug.
Yeah.
And
I'm like, this is fucking amazing. Like, this is like Nori. Like, fuck.
I want to take it from the beginning because obviously all of y'all are from this, like, the Swisher House movement, right? So, in the beginning, because I heard you used to write Pimp C letters and things like that. But in the beginning, how did you get started? How did you find your love for the music?
Me and Chameleon, we grew up together on the same street. I knew him my whole life. We both was introduced to hip hop around the same age, around the same time, through the same era of, especially of Texas artists that inspired us, you know, because at that time there wasn't, if we look on the TV or turn on the radio, there wasn't a lot of people from where we're from that were professional in music.
Besides like a
that.
Rap a lot.
Yeah, rap a lot. Even then, it was like, when you're living in Houston and you see, like you turn on the other... you turn on TV, whatever, you see kind of like how people treat rap a lot sometimes. We always kind of felt like we got the short end of the stick. We being kind of Houston. Mm-hmm. Like maybe being it was so centrally located at the South, at the bottom of the Midwest. You know, we're in the South, but we're far west on the South. So we're kind of removed from kind of what goes on sometimes in Florida or Georgia.
Like that in Miami,
yeah. So it was like, you know, and although we have a lot of similarities, it was like, man, you know, we...
Y'all different part of the South. Like Pimp said, he said that he considered that the South, like Texas, because of a different time zone.
Right.
Do you agree with that statement, or that was just
wild? I mean, me personally, I never looked at the time zone as being a reason for where being in the South, because there's plenty of people in the Central time zone. Is you know, Chicago's the Central time zone, and that ain't the South. But you know, it's just more the Southwest. But even then, you know, California is the Southwest. Right. So
because Texas seems so big, it feels West Coast sometimes. Yeah, you know, you look at it.
And the one thing that gets lost too is that inside of Texas, we all got our own culture. So Houston and Dallas is a lot different. Wow. And if you add in San Antonio and Austin, all four of them places are four distinct different cultures within Texas. Some of the stuff we do share, you know, some of the same similarities.
Austin is like, a real town? It's only for South by Southwest.
No, I didn't know. Come on.
I'm bad. You real Austin, goddammit.
As far as I remember, you was the first person not only representing Toronto, but
representing... Where was Socrates from?
He's from Toronto.
So Socrates,
he's from Toronto.
He was the first person I heard.
Yeah, I didn't. I
was
wasn't it, aware.
Were you guys from the same era, or was he right before you?
There's a lot of history, and this is kind of probably the only place where we can talk about it, and it would make sense.
But
before me, like you definitely have to shout out like what I call like the Holy Trinity, which is a female MC named Mishy Me. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So Mishy Me, she used to actually be signed to MC Light's father's label, First Priority.
Oh, wow.
So she was on First Priority. And if you go back and check the Ladies First video, she ladies was one first. Of them when you saw like Sweet Tea and first. All the rest of them. She was in that video.
Ooh,
you know what I'm saying?
The original.
Moni Love and Queen Latifah. She was in that video. And then you got a shout out, you know what I'm saying? The Dream Warriors, they were actually the first group from Canada to go platinum internationally, you know what I'm saying? So what's wild is like, if you do the knowledge, you know, shout out to Premier, RIP the Guru, but like Gangsta used to open up for them in Europe back in the day, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, shout out to Dream Warriors, but then there was also another rapper named Maestro Fresh West. And Maestro Fresh West, he was the first dude to go platinum in Canada. Like, we just celebrated the 30-year anniversary, you know what I'm saying? Of Yeah,
of him going platinum.
From Toronto as well?
He's from Toronto as well.
What's his name?
His name is Maestro. Maestro Fresh West. Okay. It's wild because like...
And he's a rapper?
He's a rapper, yo. Yo, trust me. Listen, back in the early 90s, yo, like we used to like... bug out because he was one of the first to, you know, be able to do collabs. Like, I remember he started rocking with, like, Showbiz and them.
Wow. Started, AG, you know, Showbiz, FD, yeah, and Crates. Yep. Wow. Pick them up.
So, I mean, you know, shout out to all of them. But, I mean, like, Mishy Me, also, if you go back and check, like, 87, she used to rock with BDP.
Wow.
Oh, damn.
Because she's on, so
Miss
she's...
Miss Melody? Huh? Miss Melody?
Yeah, yeah. You know, this is like Scott LaRock days, wow. Like KRS Scott LaRock days, you know what I'm saying?
So
like,
and they Miss have, Melody, he's saying.
Wow. Yeah, like, and they got joints together and
D-Nice
all.
D-Nice and wow. Them.
Yeah.
Now, Cypher, you started with Flip DJs? Flip DJs?
Flip
I don't smoke weed, so Flip's I'm already high.
No, because when I Googled,
don't know what he's talking about.
And when I Googled, you
Flip
said
Squad.
Flip Squad.
That's Duop, right? That's Duop's joint.
That was Flex.
That was
I thought Duop so, was Duop's.
Yeah, Duop was in it. It was Flex.
Yeah,
Duop.
Flip Squad. But I thought Flex was Big Dog Pimples. I didn't know who
that was. Big Dog Pimples was the second.
Oh, that's the second seafood, y'all. All right, cool. That's no problem. All right, cool. So you started out with them?
Yeah, I was like Flex's intern. At the radio station, and then he put me in the Flip Squad, but it didn't last long because then he left that whole system, whatever, and then started Big Dog Pitbull.
It's crazy. I remember like Tip came in the studio one time. I was in Patchwork when I was telling you that I was, you know, 1 foot in, 1 foot out, and I was working on Trap or Die, and he came in Patchwork, which is like a famous studio in Atlanta, and he came and he walked in. He told me he was gonna come through, so he came through. He looked around. You know, I got the lounge going. I got my homies in the account money. I got money in the vocal booth. You know, everything. He came, stood around, do this whole little thing. You know what I'm saying? I probably had about $2 million in the studio. And Tip go, let me talk to you for a minute. So he walked me in the bathroom. I'm like, fuck. You know what I'm saying? He's like, yo, you know you can't do both, right? You know what I'm saying? You gotta make a choice. He's like, you're not gonna get away with both of these. Like, something's gonna fall. And he's like, you're talented. You got talent. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can pull this off. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, you know what I'm saying, I made a decision right then and there. And everybody that owed me when I was in the streets, I just threw my phone away. I ain't even called nobody for my money. Mm. I made a decision right. I went cold turkey. You know what I'm saying? The craziest thing I ever did in my life.
Cause
I just
lottery, the motherfucker.
Yeah, but I knew he was right. Because I wasn't going to walk away. Like that, you know what I'm saying? But him telling me that, and I was already thinking that, just really made me go like, you're going to have to make a decision now or deal with the consequences later. And I made a decision, and I walked away, and I threw my phone away and everything that I had. I gave my people their money that I owed them, and I was done. And I walked away. That was there. Like, it was the best and worst decision of my life, because, boy, when them new cars were dropping and I couldn't afford it, I was like, God damn, you know what I'm saying?
You forget Zeke is a major part. He started this totally before Jewels.
That's
Jewels. Zeke was there before Jewels was even, before we even acquired Jewels. You did?
Zeke's. I ain't gonna lie, one night I had a show with Dipset, and Zeke said this story on Vlad TV. And we went, and I was gonna say, I don't wanna say the person's name, but I'm gonna say it. It's Mike Lighty. And I went in, and I knew the money was low. I got the money real quick.
Don't tell me. Don't.
Zeke and him said, you got paid? I said, yeah. And I left. Zeke and him was like, yo, y'all niggas went crazy.
Listen, hold on. Wait, listen to me. No disrespect to no one. No disrespect to no one. All right. I got to make sure this is the same night.
Right. Is that all right? I know where you're going now, bro. I'm going to let you say it.
I love all the Lighty brothers. They helped us out a lot in our career.
Right.
You did?
Yes. I know where you're going.
But if this is the night that led me to chasing him for 2 years straight in and out of clubs.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I'm talking about high stepping chasing this nigga out of clubs, bro. He jumping over tables, everything, bro.
I didn't know
over that.
That
one night, bro.
I did not know that.
I did not know you would have took the money. I did not know you the reason we didn't get no money. This is fucked up. You are a piece of shit.
They used to be like, who's
who's headlining? And I used to know, fuck who's headlining. Go get my bread real quick. And I got the bread. And Zeke said, and this is Zeke. This is Zeke. Zeke looked at me and said, why are you the only nigga happy? I was leaving. And he said, you got paid? And I said, yeah. And he was like, he said it on Vlad TV. This, I kid you not, this story. And yeah, I'm niggas.
But he brought him. He brought you up.
I don't want to say who they chased. They chased niggas.
You want to hear the story though?
It was Red Cafe, wasn't it? Let's be clear.
I don't like I don't want to go out. This thing is crazy. Listen. All right, let's tell the story. Me and Black and Dawn go inside to get the money because this is that when Cam's talking, I'm going to get Cam money. Lighty in there, you know, he like, yo. We got the money, we tell me something. I'm like, he like, yo, you gotta wait till Monday on Monday in office, but he kinda giving me act, like he kinda giving me attitude. He got 90 Brooklyn niggas behind him.
Mike.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
The
franchise. They was called the franchise.
So you sure?
Gravy in the niggas.
Yeah, yeah. All of them start coming in, everybody making their ugly face. Right? So like, me and Black is 90 of these niggas. I said, Mike, you sure you wanna do this? Alright. I looked at Black, I said, we gotta get out of here. We gotta get to the car. Show these niggas exactly what goes down.
Definitely don't remember this part of the story.
So me and Black back up. We back all the way up to the door. We bust out the door. We start running. We like, yo! Everything come out. Them niggas start coming. Everybody get robbed, yo. You, give me everything. Snatching chains, slapping niggas. Yo, bro. Talk about niggas getting pistol whipped, everything. I'm like, bro, the shit went real left real fast because of this piece of shit right here, bro.
I always get mad because people get at you because Noe did reggaeton. Mm-hmm. It wasn't bad.
And now look at everybody doing reggaeton now. Everybody wants Jay Alvin. Listen, I lost my whole career at one point. When I fucking did Oye Mikando, listen, my friend.
Me. One of my, I told you, I didn't
hold
like
on,
it.
Get really? You, I'll get you next. One of my best friends, Fat Joe, called me and said,
adios, stop mio. It.
Really?
Stop it right now.
Wow.
Fuck these guys. Do not continue with this. My other friend to the left of me walked in the room and said, I don't fuck with that shit.
No, that's not the way it happened.
In my mind, it did.
Nah, I went to Hood Lab in New York. I was hanging out.
Oh, this is in New York.
Hood Lab in New York.
Okay.
I was filming. We was always filming. And then you did a verse, and it sounded. This guy is crazy. And when I turned the camera, I said, "Nah, it's my next album."
Do you think it was just a product of bad timing?
Definitely.
Okay.
You know what? It's so bad to pat myself on the back.
Yeah.
But I was ahead of my time. The thing
you
was,
ready for it.
The thing was, we was banned from Hot 97.
Right.
Woo! CNN.
CNN was banned from Hot
97. And when you clock a in front of the building.
In front of
who shoots out a radio station?
I was not there, by the way. I was on the West Side Highway.
Okay.
But we're banned from Hot 97.
No, definitely
there. I was definitely
thank God for traffic.
Yeah, okay. Thank God for traffic. So I'm banned from Hot 97.
Yeah.
And the only way they could reintroduce us was through this reggae thing.
Mm-hmm.
Woo.
So we did a reggae with Rain Wonder and Lexus.
Mm.
Girl, you wanna take my life? Yeah. You look Jamaican. Look at you. Look at you. So that was how they started to reintroduce us. So I knew when I got to Jamaica, I loved this island.
Mm.
It was just one problem. This just isn't my island.
Mm.
I love the island life. Jamaica taught me the island life. I just knew that a part of me belonged somewhere else. The island life period, Jamaica taught me it.
Yeah.
Like that was the first time I said, you know what? I'm going to fall in love with the island. But I just knew it wasn't mine. So I had to go to mines.
Mm-hmm.
And I winded up in Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
And when I winded up in Puerto Rico, I found this amazing music that no one fucked with in America.
Right.
So I got back to, and I couldn't believe DJ Enough and Camilo and these guys wasn't playing it.
That's crazy.
But I look like a hick to them when I'm saying it. I'm like, yo, you gotta play Daddy Yankee. They're like, who? Daddy Yankee. This is yo, this guy, Tango got their own, is the shit. They're like,
ooh,
Tango. And then Don Omar. They're like, yo, these names are wild.
Yeah, yeah.
And at
yeah.
that time, the names sound wild.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But you know
why? But
you
had seen it.
No, you know why? I saw it with Pharrell. And I'm going to be honest with you. I brung Pharrell to Jay. I brung Pharrell to Nas. Mm-hmm. And they both had this similar story.
Yeah.
One asked why his shirt was so tight, and the other asked why his choker was so tight.
You're right.
By the tightness.
Forget which one was which.
Yeah.
But then 2 years later, after Oh No, because remember, Pharrell didn't just blow up after Super Thug. A lot of people think that what came out and he went on. People thought we were both lucky.
Yeah.
So people didn't rush towards him at first. People was like, oh, okay. And then Oh No came out, then that's when Mystical came with. Back your ass!
Yeah, right.
Right. So Mystical was the first
Shake your
one.
Ass up.
And then the big dogs came. But
this was before Rockefeller. Hov still was on payday, my nigga.
Ooh.
Still was on payday. So I'm telling my moms, tell Hov right there. So my moms did some bullshit. She told Hov, yeah, he in the room with some chick. So Hov like, alright, Miss V, I'm on my way. They never tell me. So I'm in the room, you know, watching a little DVD with a little chick.
Don't tell me Hov come through like Joe Clark.
Hov came in the crib.
Like
came in the room like this. Boom, bust in the room. Yo, my nigga, this what you want to do? Kick my bitch out and all that. Yo, shorty, you got to go.
What was her name? I feel like her name was Cindy.
Cindy? I can't do that. No. I ain't going to do that, though. I can't do that.
I'm out of line. I'm sorry.
Yeah, kick the bitch out, right? Hov, bitch, kick the bitch out. That's when Hov gave me the realest speech ever. And it changed everything. That's when I was like, yo, I'm never going to fall out of line again. You right.
Everybody put your seatbelts on because I'm ready for
no
this speech.
Bullshit.
Yeah, what's the speech? You got to tell us the speech.
He looked me in my eye. That nigga said, yo, I've been calling you all day to come to the studio. I'm trying to give you the opportunity to change this, to change your family life out there. This what you want? This what you want? You want to be in the crib with these dots in the hood? You know, it wasn't dots then.
It wasn't dots. It was definitely like jump off.
Yeah,
baby.
Little skios.
Like skios.
It was skios back then. Okay. You want to be with the skios in the hood and shit? He was like, nigga, I'm trying to give you the opportunity to change everybody's life in this apartment right now. He was like, remember one thing. I'm rich already. I don't need you. You need me, nigga. Got up out the crib and left.
I got chills in my body.
Word. Niggas left.
I don't know what time to clap.
I think we gotta drop the little off your name. I think you just OG Wayne at this point.
I appreciate
Damn.
It.
Oh,
I appreciate
can I roll with that for now?
Man, you know, OG Wayne? You call me whatever, man. You know you're OG Wayne.
OG Wayne, we calling you OG Wayne. Yo, but do you realize like a whole generation you influenced? Like
I realize it.
God damn it, make some noise.
You know, when you're playing six people with seven people, nigga, this is an impossible movie. I don't know how I did it. Like, it almost killed me. How about this? This was the work schedule. I'd wake up at 2:30 in the morning, and my assistant could attest to this. 2:30 in the morning, I'd go to sit and make up for 7.5 hours. After 7.5 hours, I would work sometimes 16 to 18 hours after the 7 hours I've been there. So we're on 23 hours. Then I would take, and they would have the hour and a half to take the makeup off. I would go home, I would sleep 2.5 hours and have to be back on set to do the same shit the next day. That's work.
Goddamn, make some noise, man.
Come on,
Michael Jackson.
One thing I learned about life, man, like you gotta put yourself in a position that you can do what you want when you want. You feel what I'm saying?
Right,
like
right.
You just don't be working for people and having to meet quotas and deadlines because that's a company. I'm building my own company, you feel me?
Right.
So it's like I got other shit going on too. So it's like shit, if I feel like making music, I'm gonna make music. If I feel like making history, I'm gonna make some motherfucking history. I don't need no permission for that shit.
God damn it. God damn it, make some noise.
The will to win. See, the thing is, there's about me and the sport of boxing. I was willing to die doing something that I love. So if you're willing to die to do something that you love, 99% of the time, you're going to come out on top. So just like Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan.
Killer instinct.
You know? Got to take the shot, even if you miss.
Yeah, fearless.
You gotta take the shot. So my thing is this, and it's crazy.
Right.
You know, even like I'm saying, like when you just look back at my career, you say who done the from the beginning of boxing to now, who's doing Floyd Mayweather numbers?
Who's doing Floyd Mayweather numbers? No one. Then you got everybody want to fight Conor McGregor. And mm-hmm. I know you're going to get to that.
Yeah, I got that.
You want to get now. Yeah. Now everybody want to take the Floyd Mayweather route.
Right.
You know, you got to realize this. I got my own fucking defense, man. Mm-hmm. That's the Mayweather. I got my own style in boxing. That's the Floyd Mayweather style.
What is that shit?
And the thing, you know, and the thing
shoulder
is this.
Roll. The shoulder roll. I've been trying to do that for 25 years.
I don't care. My dad taught me the shoulder roll. Mm. But the thing is this, I don't care, and I'm not talking about my dad, I don't care who done it first. Mm. It's mine because I mastered it.
This is the part that gets erased. So Jay said,
you had an argument, you had a fight.
Yeah, Jay was like, I don't know. I was like, yo, that girl Rihanna's dope. Been playing it on the radio, getting good reaction. I think you should sign up. And it was like a little iffy, like, I don't know, maybe the song might be bigger than her. Mm. Not sure. We had an argument. I'm like, I'm telling you, she's dope. I'm thinking Caribbean vibe.
That's a good point, though. That's a good point. The song what? Being bigger than her
the
at the time.
The song was bigger than her at the time.
Point. It's a good point.
She definitely surpassed all of that.
Right.
Yeah. At the time, that song was way bigger. Right. A lot of people come out with a song like that and they never could follow it, right? Yeah. So we had this argument, and I'm thinking Caribbean vibes. I'm like, I could break this artist.
Right.
Because that's what I do.
Like, wait, Jay's at the helm of Def Jam at this point. That's why you guys are having the argument.
He was the president of Def Jam.
Yo, did he have Rock and Familia at that time, too?
No, this is after that.
It was forming at the same time.
Together. And to this day, it's probably my favorite tour because We were both coming up together. Y'all was on Undertainment, I was on Penalty. And now we're both on Def Jam. We're both like these dudes. But Old Boy is number one Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Then Homeboy is number one Friday. So we got a
back and forth then.
So we got a I'm gonna be honest, to me being Cam is the Jay-Z and the Nas of our generation.
Nah, y'all did that.
Please, can
you
give
it that? Listen, I got,
to me.
100%, yo, a platinum artist, hands down. Every album y'all put out went platinum.
Yep.
This shit was, it was at a different time when certain artists wasn't going platinum.
Right. You heard? Talk that shit, Jim. Talk
some
that shit,
Jim. Some of the biggest artists that people look up to right now in that moment, in the 90s, in that total era. Wasn't going platinum. It might have been hot.
Uh-huh.
It might have been fly.
But not going platinum.
Wasn't going platinum. Mace was going platinum. Nori was going platinum.
Cam
was going platinum. DMX was going platinum.
Yep.
That's about it. From New York.
I would say Nelly and Eminem, but
I said from New York.
Okay. I said from New York.
I'm sorry. You heard?
I apologize. Let me pay attention.
From New York.
I apologize. Continue. Hope was a different category. You gotta relax.
Yeah. Oh. He's going platinum.
He's a different category.
It took him a while to go platinum. Like, he didn't start off going platinum. Like, he
progressed
to going platinum, and there's no shots at Hov. He's a fucking billionaire. But his main battle was making it to be platinum.
Right.
He had the platinum rolling. Right. They had everything. But it was hard for him to make platinum.
Uh-huh.
And then when he finally made platinum, he stayed there.
Yeah.
It only got better and iller and way triller. You did?
Talk that shit, Jim.
But in that era, he was in the same fight as all of us trying to get to that platinum. There was a group of them, but Hov was a little bit older. He already had put his game down and shit like that. We came in 97 and 98.
Yep.
Hov and them was already there from 94 and 95 when Big and all them niggas was shaking and shit like that. We came in at the tail end in the 90s and burnt that shit down.
Yep.
There was only a few people that could have went to the tunnel and shut it down.
Right.
Rockefeller, Nori, Cam, DMX.
Real shit? Real shit.
Murdy Inc.
And Rough Riders. DMX. You said DMX. Same thing,
And Murdy Inc.
Yeah, Murdy Inc. Yeah.
Ja Rule was getting stupid busy.
A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't know that.
Platinum too.
Yeah.
He was going extra platinum.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. Talk that shit, Jim.
Urban was on a different train back then. Urban. Show Jay and him how to get to the platinum
train.
And
he brought DMX into the building.
100%. Yeah. You did. Remember, I was all in the building studying everything that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Everything once they got us in that building. I just was in there soaking up all the game to the point I could make some money. I figure out how to make some money.
Noah, you a real good, you a real good host. No, I said because I was watching you. I'm like, you know what? Nori got it. Nori know how to ask the questions. He knows how to still be kind. He knows how to deliver like the beginning statement, and then at right at the end when you think you going this way, you all the way over here.
He caught on. He caught on.
He just won my whole car. I ain't gonna lie.
He was research too.
Like Drill Champs is successful because you are guiding the show. Right.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You definitely driving the yacht.
Now it depends on what the question is. It depends on what the question is. Cash Money or Death Row? Nah, I'm joking, man. Hear it all.
As a friend, for years I've been seeing like you've been acting Bobby Brown and I just always wanted to tell you, nigga.
I never was light skinned. Ever. That's why when niggas say that, I'd be like, man, I don't act like that. I'd be seeing niggas that act like that. I'd be like, I don't act like that.
Oh my God.
In your mind, you thought you could take Nas?
Yeah.
I see the queen in here.
They
go at me.
I just
might
use that. They can say in your mind. You
let's get straight to the point. Do you feel like Ebro tried to cut you out? Do you feel like let's just fuck it. Take the band-aid right off.
We tried the AC and got straight to the point.
Listen, you don't drink Sife, so there's no need to build up to this shit.
Okay, right.
There's no need to do it. You know what I mean? We're gonna try to get Mr. Official.
Drink a monster though.
A little anemia. We need you to get a monster drink. Yeah. But let's just be clear. Cypher, this was your morning show.
Yes.
I'm a morning person. Yeah. I woke up in the morning.
Yeah, you always used to call.
And just one morning, it was the morning show.
Yeah.
And then the next morning, it was Ebro's morning show.
Yeah.
You had to feel a certain type of way.
Nah.
I don't
feel any type of animosity toward anybody for shit like that. Mm. You know what I'm saying? There's a whole bunch of different reasons.
But essentially, let's break it down for the people that don't know. Sorry to cut you off because I want the people to understand where I'm coming from.
Yes.
Essentially, this was somewhat your boss. He was the PD.
He was 100% my boss.
He was the boss. I want people to understand.
This is all programming. So don't listen to social media. Listen to fucking people. I know where the laughs are. And I would never do something. If I tell a joke and 300 people walk out, that's a bad joke.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
If I do a joke and one person walks out out of 300, nigga, that's a damn good joke. That's just a sensitive motherfucker right there. So
that's why you do the clubs and that's why you do the coffee shops, because you're working all that material out anyways.
Yeah, but nowadays they put it online and then you get fucked up for saying stupid shit. But the comedians, we're going to say stupid shit if we're trying to get to good shit. Now, it's one thing if you do like a special and you go, this is my refined material, and now I'm ready to present this to the world. But somebody getting you on stage while you're in the thought process of creating, you have to say stupid shit to get to the good shit.
Right.
So we have to, you know, I got to be unforgivable and just go, I'm not apologizing for shit.
It's overlooked in this game how hard it is to stay relevant and how hard it is to have 10 years in this game and still be who you are. So many people, they do survive those 10 years, but they turn into a whole different type of animal or different type of objects the further they get. And that's dope. I get it. I get what change this should be changed. But there's something that should not never change. Is that we're superheroes, and the thing that we dedicate to our community when we, you know, put our face, I can't never take my face off and go to McDonald's and say I'm off. Mm-hmm. We can't never do that. Like, this is a 24-hour job even when we're not at it. So I want y'all to know that I appreciate that. You're a real big figure. Like, you're a really big figure. And it sets a precedence when you said, you know, you got an album coming out, Funeral, on January 31st, correct? And you come to see Black media, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what we, quote unquote, is right now, is, you know what I mean? We hood media and we hip hop media, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the thing is, when you come and see us, it's such a blessing. It's such a precedence that, you know what, we can control our own shit.
Exactly.
We don't have to go outside.
Yeah.
You know, big up to Ellen and big up to, you know, Trevor Noah and all of them. You know, we're great to see these guys as well. But when you come to Drink Champs first, it's just a precedence.
Love.
And guess what? Sure. We love that.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Drink Champs, hosted by yours truly, DJ EFN and NORE. Please make sure to follow us on all our socials. That's @DrinkChamps across all platforms, @TheRealNoriega on IG, at Noriega on Twitter. Mine is at Who's Crazy on IG, at DJEFN on Twitter. And most importantly, stay up to date with the latest releases, news, and merch by going to drinkchamps.com.